Lord, I want to just say thank you so much that we can be here together again today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Even as we were setting up, Lord God, and in the prayer meeting that you came and spoke so clearly, Lord. Thank you for your presence here as we've worshipped you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your word to our hearts today, Lord. And help us to hear you, help us to see you, and to respond well to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to do... Hey, Brad. Oh, man. This is one of the coolest guys I know. Yeah. Love you lots, Brad. Both Brads. It applies equally. Yeah. So I'm going to preach part two of the preach that I started last week, which was about being slaves. Do you remember that? And I brought my my banner. Yeah, freedom. Yeah. And just a quick reminder on what we preached on last time, I'm so eager to get this message out. And so as I was preparing, you know, I was like, Lord, okay, how am I going to preach the whole thing, you know? And the Lord said, you're not going to preach the whole thing. So today's going to be part two. And then next week, Andrew Selly is coming to preach. And so he's going to be here with us. I'm super excited about that. And then the following week, I will preach part three, which is going to be the best part of this, by a long way, just saying. And that's not marketing, it's the truth. and then the week after that, I think that Mr. McCoy is going to preach. I felt the Lord point us in that way, and I'm even more excited about that. So last time, we heard that we are actually all slaves. Do you remember that? And that there are two camps, slave camps, and there are two masters in this life that we can be slaves to, and that we're all slaves to one of them. And the question is not, are we slaves, but to whom are we slaves? And just to remind you, we said, with these two camps, if you step out of one of them, you step into the other. There isn't a neutral ground, you know, like a no man's land. No. You're either in one, or if you step out of it, you step into the other one. And so I want to begin, and the whole preach today will be actually just talking about camp one in more detail. And so I want you to come on a journey with me. It's like, you know, people discovered these camps in Germany. Do you remember that? Just after World War II, and they kind of walked into the forest, and there were these horrendous camps. And I want you to come look at the camp with me. I want to take you on a journey, and I want to show you the camp. I want to show you what it's like to live there. I want to show you the master of the camp. I want you to see that with me today. And so we're going to stop at the first camp, and then in 2 weeks' time we're going to look at the other camp and the other master. And his glory and his beauty. So the first camp is the camp where the devil reigns, and where the people who are in the camp are slaves to sin. And the fact is that actually, unfortunately, we are all born in that camp. It's like that's where we are by default. The Bible tells us we are born in sin. Romans 3:23, a famous verse, says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And John 8:34, Jesus says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And so we start in that camp, and as you walk through the doors of that camp, you see the master of the camp standing there, and his name is Satan, or the devil. And the Bible uses different names to describe him. I'm going to tell you 14 of them. But before I tell you, I want you to understand, why am I showing you the camp and why am I showing him to you? Because if you don't see it, you won't want to leave. Does that make sense? So, back to it. The Bible calls him the God of this world, the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. The Bible calls him a murderer from the beginning. The Bible calls him the hater of truth. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of lies. The Bible calls him the great dragon. It calls him the ancient serpent, the one who deceives the whole world. Has anyone ever seen the Lord of the Rings movie? Do you remember there's this, is it in the Lord of the Rings where the dragon is? Or is that in the Hobbit? In the Hobbit. There's a movie with hobbits. And a dragon, a big dragon that lives in this cave in the mountain with a lot of gold. Seen that one? It's a beautiful depiction of the serpent, the dragon. Like, and he breathes fire and he deceives the whole world. The whole of that Middle Earth or wherever it was lived in fear of the dragon coming because of what he could do, because he brought fire and he brought death with him. And that's a great picture for us of the master of this camp. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brothers. He's pointing his finger. You did this, you did that. But equally, it calls him the tempter. Man, I've got some words I would like to use about him, but they wouldn't be appropriate for church, right? Because he first tempts you, come, do it. And then when you do it, he's like, you did it. The Bible calls him the deceiver who disguises himself as an angel of light. The Bible calls him a thief whose purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And it calls him the destroyer and the devourer. And this master of this camp, he pays his slaves. Did you know that? Slaves usually don't get paid. But he pays. He pays his slaves. The Bible describes the payment in Romans 6:23. It says the wages of sin is death. And all of those who remain in his camp receive the wage of death. Now, that was a bit heavy. So let's just lighten up a little bit. It's important to know what it feels like to be a slave in this camp. You see, at first, it's normal because, I mean, you're born there, right? This is all you know. It's life, and everyone else is here with me. And it looks like freedom and pleasure and independence and autonomy. Like the master of the camp, he's got signs up that says, there are no laws. There is no God to whom you are accountable. He says, in fact, God doesn't exist. He even says, I, the master of the camp, don't exist. This is the freedom camp. And he said, even if God did exist, he's bad and he's harsh. He's a killjoy. And there's plenty on offer in this camp. You know, don't think of it like one of the camps that I described to you. This one is multicolored, and there's balloons everywhere. And, you know, you would think Dane had been there. Yeah? It's like a party. Anything you want, you can indulge in. The more, the better. Sound like a nice place? He makes it sound like a nice place. But like with a bad diet, the more of it that you eat, the worse you feel. And soon we find ourselves like the prodigal son. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Standing in the pigsty, far away from his father, all his money spent, all his life spent, hungry, thirsty, dirty, stuck in sin, stuck in pain, stuck in compulsion. Who knows what compulsion is? You feel compelled, you feel forced to continue. Stuck in shame, powerless to stop. We find ourselves sinning more and more, breaking God's laws, hurting people, hurting others, hurting ourselves. You see, sin isn't just something you do. Sin is something that ends up owning you. The person who thinks they're free but keeps returning to the same patterns is not really free. Were we all here last week? Was anyone not here last week? You weren't here last week? Okay. Well, you weren't here last week. Okay, so we're going to play this video again. Okay? This video is a picture. I'm going to bring you the mic. This video is a picture of what it looks like to be in the camp.
I don't think so.
you, Grumpy.
So, it's a good picture of what it looks like to live in that camp. It starts off wonderful. And each new little sin, man, it's, oh. But what are the results of living in this camp, of choosing to be a slave to this master? Well, the first one is separation and increasing distance from God. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 59, verse 2 says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. The second one is a dark and deceived mind and heart. Did you notice how it was getting darker and darker? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts. The third thing is shame and hiding. Genesis 3, verse 7 to 8, Adam and Eve are in the garden. It's perfect and it's beautiful. And they decide to sin. They decide to disobey God. They decide to jump into the other camp. And it says they suddenly felt shame. And they hid from the Lord God. The fourth thing is broken relationships. James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires at war within you? The fifth thing is a heart that gets harder and harder. Did you notice the shape of that little? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, you must warn each other every day. Remember what Eric was saying? You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. You know what happens in this camp? As the sun comes up, is the hearts are like clay. And the warmer and hotter it gets, the harder and harder the heart gets against God. The next thing that happens in this camp is fear grows. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, Adam and Eve again. Adam answers, I heard you walking in the garden, and so I hid. I was afraid. Do you see that fear? They were in a perfect garden with a perfect God, and the sin came in, and it caused for the first time in all creation fear. The next thing that happens in that camp is fear becomes despair. Psalm 38, verse 3 and 4. Because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My health is broken because of my sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. The next thing that happens in this camp is that we begin to destroy ourselves and others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. You will always harvest what you plant. Whoever sows to please their sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. You know, I've heard many times, sugar is bad for you. You need to stop eating sugar. And when I lived in the Isle of Man, you know, I ate a lot of sugar. I remember we would have baking competitions at my house. And I would make a Black Forest gâteau. You know what that is? It's like this beautiful chocolate cake. You guys know. Fellow, yeah. Cake lovers. It's like this beautiful chocolate cake with cherries on the inside and cream, and you know, like, yeah, we would have this competition. And of course, the cake had to be eaten. And so I would be the one who usually finished the rest of the cake. But you know what happened? I started to put on weight. And I started to feel pain in my body. And then we got to South Africa, and one of the first times I had with Andrew, you know, I was expecting, yeah, I'm here to serve Andrew, you know, and Andrew said, hey, you want to grab a coffee? I'm like, yeah, sure. So we went out somewhere here, and the waitress came and said, hey, what do you want? I said, I'll have a coffee milkshake, please, yeah. Andrew was like, I'll have a black coffee, thanks, yeah. I'm like, hey, you should have the milkshake's much nicer than the, you know. He says, yeah, I've been wanting to talk to you about that. I'm like, yeah. He says, man, I can see, you know, basically you've been in finance for 20 years or whatever, you know. He says, basically you're an unhealthy fat banker. I was like, excuse me? Yeah. He says, you need to stop drinking milkshakes. Okay, that's what I wanted to tell you. Have a lucky day. And off he went. I was like, so for a while I stopped having milkshakes because I was offended. And then I started having milkshakes again. And then in 2022, two heart attacks in 1 month. You know why I'm still standing here? Grace. I should be dead. We destroy ourselves and others. Number 9. You know what the people in that camp get next? Ever-growing anger from God with a terrible expectation of his judgment. Romans 2 verse 5. But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Number 10. You know what happens next? After the fear and the despair and the expectation of anger, and you know what comes next? It's even worse. The people in that camp are handed over to do more and more of whatever they want to do. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, 26, and 28, three times it says, and God gave them over. Firstly, to more and more impurity. Secondly, to shameful lusts. Thirdly, to a depraved mind. You see, one of sin's most sobering consequences is not the punishment from the outside. It's God stepping back and letting sin run its course. It's Andrew not coming and saying, hey, stop drinking milkshake. He's like, hey, have another milkshake. Have another one. He has another one. Another. And we stop feeling any guilt, any shame. And we become handed over to the sin. The next thing is blindness, deafness, and inability to hear the Holy Spirit calling out to us. John chapter 12, verse 40. The Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Can I read that again? This is crazy. This is the state of somebody who's been in that camp for too long. It says the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand and they cannot turn to me and heal me. You know, one of the greatest lies of this master of the camp, he said, stay as long as you want. At any time, you can just leave. And so when we hear the Holy Spirit calling us, Lucas, stop. Lucas, stop. This is a sobering escalation. Prolonged rejection of the light eventually results in God confirming the blindness. They cannot now see what they repeatedly refused to look at. Romans 1 verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. You see, if God calls out to us enough times and we refuse to listen to Him, we get to the point where even if we wanted to, we now can no longer obey. And our mind becomes dark and confused. Blindness is the direct result of suppressing what they already knew. This kind of darkness is self-inflicted. It begins with refusing God, not being unable. But it ends with inability to respond to God. Ephesians 4 verse 18, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. The two causes are named together there, closed minds and hardened hearts. You see, this kind of blindness is not passive. It's the accumulated result of repeated choices to shut out the light. We're getting near the end of this camp and near the end of this preach. I know it's heavy. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. This is the worst kind of blindness. Let's read it together. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is the worst kind of blindness. Because here, you don't even know what you cannot see. The church in Laodicea was comfortable and self-sufficient and completely unaware of their actual spiritual condition. Do you see the progression? Spiritual blindness is like a spectrum. Did you see the little bird? Started off in the light. Oh, what is this? Oh, let me just take. Took one. Oh, right? Took another one. Took another one. And now it's getting a bit gray. Took another one. It's getting a bit grayer. Another one. A little bit more gray. A little bit. Until it's dark. And there's darkness inside and outside. And that it begins with suppressing what we already know. We all know, we go to church, we read the Bible, we hear there's a great God out there, and He's the one that we should serve, and there's a devil, and we're like, yeah, I see it, but we suppress it. And then it progresses to hardening. Right? So now I hear it, but I don't want to hear it anymore. And then in the more severe form, it becomes judicial, God confirming in people the blindness that they choose. And then finally, they become so blind that they don't even know they're blind, and they feel like they can see, but they cannot see. That's the end state of the people in that camp. A life lived in sin without the light of Christ. And you know, the people in that camp end up serving the purposes of their master without even realizing until it's too late. Jesus speaks to some people who are in that camp. Do you know what they were called? They were called the Pharisees. And they had been in that camp for a long time. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does." You see, what happens to the heart in that state is that when you are following your master in that camp, you begin to love following him. Did you see how that little bird ran to the next one? You just want more. You end up doing his work out of love. And then we are not loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Jesus was speaking to Pharisees who were completely convinced that they were serving God. They weren't even aware that they were serving a different master. Their self-deception was complete. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul instructs Timothy, what do you do when you come across a camp like that? What do you do with people that are stuck in this camp? And he says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants them to. And the end of that camp, the last point, is death. Spiritual, physical, eternal. The wages of sin is death. See, these wages, the wages for that camp, are not accidental. They are earned and they are owed. Death is not an unfortunate side effect of sin. It is the contractual return of sin. Romans 6 verse 16 says, don't you realize you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You see, the destination, death, is built into the road. We cannot walk this road into that camp and expect life at the end. Slavery to sin is a train with only one terminus. And with this camp, the obvious question is, can you leave? Anybody want to be in that camp? I mean, didn't I describe it nicely for you? Like, so can you leave if you're in it? Can you leave it? And the answer is devastatingly no. Elijah thought it was yes. You cannot leave the camp. You cannot leave it by willpower. You cannot leave it by trying harder. No slave in that camp in all of history ever left the camp by freeing themselves from the inside. See? That's the bad news. You're stuck. Unless, I'm shouting, because in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to tell you unless someone can be found to pay the price from the outside to buy you out of the camp, there is no other way out. And I'm going to tell you all about that, but I'm going to just leave you with one opening scripture for the next time. Is that okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son, okay, that's who we're going to talk about, Jesus, right? The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. What that scripture says is that there was no way out. We had paid the price for death, and so we were getting it. And so there was no way for us to exit, even if we saw our problem, which we couldn't see because we were blind. And so the light of the world, you wonder why the book of John opens with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the light of men. Because in this darkness of this camp, where we were blind and we didn't want God and we hated Him and we were stuck in our sin, into that darkness came the Sun. S-O-N. But He was shining like the sun. S-U-N. And He was the light of life. And only by coming into flesh and dying and paying the price, the ransom price, could He buy us back. And we're going to see that He did buy us with something very valuable called His blood. But He bought us. That means we were transferred into His ownership. But I'm not going to go anymore. We're out of time. Can we pray? Before we pray, I just feel, let's just pause. Maybe just all have our eyes closed. It's always heavy when we talk about the devil and sin and the results of sin and the consequences of it. It's always heavy. But maybe let's just look at the camp in our minds again. Let's just look at that terrible master. Let's think about the things that he has tricked us into doing. The things that he's lied to us about. So promising, this will give you life. If you just take a bite, you'll be like God. You'll know real life, real joy, real pleasure. It's all lies. Let's think about the times when we have believed those lies. And we started off the morning in our prayer meeting and Sunny said, you know, I really feel from the Holy Spirit a word, and the word is repent. And actually, repentance is the way out of the camp. Repent means I change my mind. I see it. I don't want to be in this camp anymore. Repent means, I see you, Jesus. I see your light. I see your way, and I want to choose that way. And so, I really feel, just to make that clear offer to us today. Anyone that feels that they may be stuck in that camp and wants out, whether you've given your life to Jesus before and you've drifted back into that camp, or maybe you've never made this decision before today. I feel God offering us His hand, reaching into our darkness and saying, take hold of me. Let me take hold of you and pull you into my camp, into my light, into my joy, into my freedom, into my love. And so I'm going to pray a prayer with you. If you want to pray it, you pray it alongside with me. And the prayer is going to simply be saying, Jesus, I see you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. Take hold of me. I give you my life. Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I see you. I believe in you. Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive me for my sins, Lord. Set me free, please. I give you my life. I give you ownership of my life. I want you to be my Lord. You to be my master. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe we can just sing one more song together. Go for it, Ari.